Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life and in the politics around us. And what a doozy we have this week. The Mercury is very retrograde in a Sagittarius, conjunct Saturn. So Mercury retrograde from December 2nd until December 22nd slows us down, which is good for the holidays. It takes us back to our family, brings us into our roots. That's lovely. But Mercury retrograde conjunct Saturn talks about the seriousness of decisions now being made that are holding our feet to the fire, that are requiring that we face the consequences of our words and of our decisions. And because it's in Sagittarius, it has to do with education, philosophy, but also international relations. And you're seeing this as Mercury conjunct Saturn. Time magazine announced that its truth tellers, the women who spoke up, mostly women, but the people who have spoken up about sexual malfeasance in the past are now their people of the year. And it's interesting that this happens with the consequences of our words, with Jupiter in Scorpio, which brings a highlight to what we do with our pelvis, what we do with our energies. It has to do somewhat with sexuality, but also hidden secrets, wanting to free up the hidden secrets. But in doing so, it's interesting that we seem to be holding accountable the best people and the worst perpetrators of this in our political system are the ones that are not being held accountable because the questions of honesty and responsibility aren't what they're worried about. And this uneven accountability seems to be taking out some good people as well as the people that should have gotten rid of a long time ago. Oh, so I want all of us to look at that in our private life. It's not just about sexual perpetrators out there. It's about all the places that we have been less than honest about the consequences of actions on us, people that we have never forgiven, people that we need to clear the air and move on. We need to clear the air, and that may be by telling them the effect of what happened in the past. But to choose our timing carefully, not because we are tiptoeing around the subject, but because we have a goal of freedom and a goal of movement. Now, this is happening with Mars in Libra opposed Uranus, and Mars in Libra is usually fairly, it's not a particularly strong place for Mars because it's in the sign opposite the one, Aries, that it rules. But Mars in opposed Uranus brings up this intensity and difficulty that has made everybody a little itchy and temperamental for the last few days. For the last week, temperamental, I have been klutzy myself, dropping things, moving with the emotional process of emotional irritability or responsiveness. Everybody is reactive rather than responsive. I think that's a better way of putting it. Now, Mars is about to leave Libra, where it really still wanted fairness, and going to go into Scorpio and within a few weeks conjunct Jupiter. Jupiter enlarges whatever it touches. Jupiter conjunct Mars can either liberate us from frustrations of the past, from negative Mars, It can free up some of our energy to pursue what we want to pursue. Or it can magnify anger, fights, confrontations. It's a very competitive aspect, that Jupiter-Mars conjunction. And it can be, in Scorpio, vindictive. So I am concerned about what happens this week, as by the end of the week, when Mars goes into Scorpio, where it will be for a while, roughly 2 months, bringing up a reactive, vindictive streak rather than a focused streak. And that when fights start with Mars in Scorpio, Scorpio is a fixed sign. And so with Mars in a fixed sign, that gives us endurance, really good for winter sports, really good for projects that we want to pursue or a case we want to pursue. But it can be hard to let go of our anger or our frustration. So if you have something that you want to clear the air about in the past, and you are willing to not just vent, but to listen to both sides and actually see what you can do to create an improvement, my suggestion is that you do it in the next couple of days, because by Friday, Mars heads into Scorpio. And after that, it serves to have something to focus upon, whether it's putting up your Christmas decorations or finishing your finals exams or papers. How can we proceed with this? I'm a little worried about it. I am very worried about the Mars in Scorpio with this heaviness around the consequences of our words with Mercury conjunct Saturn. And it conjunct Saturn once a few weeks ago, conjunct Saturn again yesterday and today as Mercury retrograded back over it. And we'll conjunct Saturn one more time at the end of the month, beginning of next month, when it turns direct. Now, if any of you would like to call in with some questions, we'll be taking those in a few minutes. The call-in number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And at the moment, there's no one in the queue. I can keep talking all night. But if you hadn't been able to get through to ask a question, tonight might be a good night to do so. This is Heather Rowan Robbins. I'm speaking to you from the Mission Valley of Montana, between Missoula and Kalispell. I am normally joined by Ann Ortley and Mark Woltz from New York City, but they are Mercury's retrograde and they're not here tonight. So let's take this and run with it. I'm worried about that concentration. Mars in Scorpio concerns me about the effects in the Middle East of the decision to move the American embassy to Jerusalem in place of Tel Aviv. And I know that the American Senate approved this 22 years ago, and the American presidents have been dragging their feet to do this because they know that it will, that many countries, the Palestinians, also feel like this is their capital, and this is making a clear statement that there is no hope for this. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I just question the motives of Trump doing so now and the effectiveness of doing it as Mercury stations, retrogrades back, conjuncts Saturn right before Mars goes into Scorpio. So that fits with the image of the serious consequences of our actions, international relationships, but those which stir up old problems, resentment, and retaliation. So let's keep an eye on that. And let's see how we cannot do that at our own dinner table or with... Now, Saturn is just finishing its tour of Sagittarius, where it's been for about 2.5 years. That's a Saturn spends about 2.5 years in a sign and asks us to restructure that, organize, deal with, but it often shows the delays around what we're doing there. Now, Saturn's been in Sagittarius, the sign of both the ecosystem of education and of international relationships. And they have been restructured this last couple of years. I don't think in a good way, but they have been restructured, and we've been brought up the questions of how do we proceed. Saturn is about to head into its own sign of Capricorn, where it is unusually strong. Now, Saturn was in Capricorn from roughly 1988, late 1988, through 1991, like 1989 through 1991. And during that, the time while Saturn was in Capricorn, it was last in Capricorn one cycle ago. It was a very unusual tour because Uranus and Neptune were also there. And we had a lineup of those three planets. And they this happens every 200 and some years, 238 years, I think, approximately. Not every time do they all line up at the same time because they have very different orbit cycles. Uranus is every 84 years, Neptune 148, I believe, and Saturn 28 approximately years. So when they all line up in the same sign, it only happens every couple of hundred years, and some cycles it doesn't quite line up. One cycle that it happened began the Renaissance. And you've got Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus all conjunct at the very beginning of the Renaissance. And it's interesting when Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune line up, pattern we see around the birth of Venus. We see Saturn enter. I see someone on the line. I will call on you as soon as I finish the story. Saturn, the story of the birth of Venus, Uranus was acting out and eating its children and causing destruction. The mother of these children had hid one child, Saturn. And when Saturn was born, the job was for Saturn was raised to castrate Uranus and take those organs and throw them into the ocean. So Saturn cut off the testicles of Uranus, and that's Saturn is the restrictor. Uranus is the procreative, wild, chaotic energy, and we need the two of them together to create things. Threw it down into the collective unconscious, into the ocean, into Neptune. And Saturn always, because Saturn's the fastest moving one, when we get the three-way lineup, Saturn always conjuncts Uranus first, then conjuncts Neptune, then Uranus and Neptune conjunct, and out of which resulted the birth of Venus. So we often have a bloody mess around the lineup of this conjunction, and then out of it produces rich, creative, if chaotic, world. So according to that cycle, we're still in the beginning of the new Renaissance, and we're still in the messy phase. Last time Saturn was in Capricorn, it made this major conjunction. This time in Capricorn, it will make a conjunction to Pluto in its own sign of Capricorn, in Saturn's sign of Capricorn. And to me, that is really looking at how we use power in the world, how we structure politics. Pluto takes whatever sign it's in, and it goes in from roughly 13 to 30 years, depending upon where it is in the cycle, and it's just in the expanding phase of that. It because it's just outside the orbit of Neptune and moving outwards. So Pluto is taking Capricorn issues, power, organization, government, patriarchy, all the ambition, structure, to the edge to be reborn. It is really testing it. The last time Pluto was in Capricorn was right before the American Revolution. We had the American Revolution with Pluto in Capricorn. So where America is heading into its first Pluto return. So Saturn conjunct Pluto, I think for the next couple of years, we're going to see huge arguments around and huge restructuring around governments, structures, organizations that we belong to. Keep an eye on that. Figure out how you can be part of that and use that in a good way. If we stay involved, we can make it a positive restructuring, like the American Revolution. Let's see if we can do it with a little less mess this time. I'm going to take the call. Hello, 698. You're on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Heather. This is Denise, and my birthday is May 12th, 1965.
Okay, hold on. May 12th, 1965. Yes?
And I was born in Berkeley. Oh, time, 6:45 a.m.
6:45 a.m.
Berkeley, California.
Berkeley? Okay.
This is actually a follow-up call. I called at the beginning of last year. I was going through a divorce, and the feedback was that my ex would draw things out in a power play and make my life miserable until October when I would be free. And I am free now, and I'm looking at returning to New Mexico near Albuquerque to continue a project that I was doing before we met. Any feedback?
Wonderful. And congratulations on getting free, and I'm sorry it took a while.
Thanks. Your advice really helped me with patience and knowing that the end in sight was in sight, even though it seemed so far away when you told me that. It still helped a lot.
Did it take roughly that period of time to happen?
The divorce was final in July, but
excellent.
I got involved in some activities, and I think emotionally and psychically I started feeling free in October, and now
good.
I'm feeling well.
Excellent.
On my way.
Well on your way. So Pluto is at 17 degrees, has retrograded back to 17 degrees of Capricorn, and your natal moon is 16 degrees of Libra. So it will be never going to darken your moon again. That's the good news. Uranus is coming back and forth over your Mercury, it's already hit it once. Your Mercury is at 26 Aries. And Uranus has retrograded back to 24 Aries, but will be back there in January and February. Pluto is moving into a trine with your Sun, which is excellent. And your progressed Moon, which conjunct Pluto just about July, is now moving forward, and it's just entered your house of creativity. So is this a creative project that you began before?
It's creative in the sense that it's creating kind of alternative community on an off-the-grid piece of land.
Wonderful. That looks, and you were born with Uranus, Mars, and Pluto all conjunct in your fourth house. So your idea of home is transformational. You don't mind struggle as long as it feels like it's getting somewhere. You like the idea of revolution at home. Much better revolution at home because you're wrestling with the land off-grid than wrestling at home with a difficult personality. So I think that's great for you.
Awesome.
Your Neptune is trining your progressed Sun, so you are ready to move into a more spacious and comfortable place. And I see another caller on the line. I just want to say, if you want to press one, I'll know that you want me to call on you, and I will after this. So I see that you are moving into a place where you would like to make a difference, and I think that there'd be an excellent thing for you to do, to go back.
Thank
I'm
you.
Just
that
check
really helps.
Because there's some clearing up now with Mercury retrograde. You have not many planets, not many astrological lines. Where are you living now? What
in
corner
Sacramento,
of the country?
Which I've never
okay.
ever felt was my home, and I came for my ex's career and got
okay.
stuck here. Because
you've
of that.
Got Jupiter on the ascendant going through there. Like, they like you. You just don't like them.
Sacramento's been good to me. I can't complain. It's just not for me in the long run.
Right. And that's what it looks like, is they like you. But it in some ways, it's easy for you there. It's just not a place where you like what your surroundings is. You have your nodal line, north-south node, running through New Mexico. So for you, it's kind of meeting your fate.
Excellent. That's what it feels like. I really appreciate you validating that. Thank you.
And when we, your progressed moon in Virgo, in for another 10 months, you're getting a lot of work done and getting things, the details of your life reorganized and put in place. In about 10 months, you'll be more interested in meeting people, developing collaboration, and reaching out. Your progress moon's been going through the bottom of your chart. So for the last 5 to 7 years, it's been an extremely personal time of your life. You've been doing personal karma slogging, but your work really hasn't taken off the way you'd like. Your sense of purpose hasn't really moved forward. But it can, because your progress moon's moving up, just entered your house of creativity. It's stopped being all about the family, Michigas, and it's starting to kind of get the energy behind you. So I think this is going to be wonderful. It's important that you just keep really listening to yourself, because you can override what you need to hear other people, and your intuition needs you to listen to yourself first so you can be there for others.
That's a beautiful piece of advice, because that's some mistakes I've made in the past have to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that it's not hearing them that's the problem. It's hearing them louder than hearing yourself that becomes the issue.
Yep. Yes.
So
that's it.
You know, that's like, I know what they need. What do I need? And how do you create a balance between those, because you're trying to reduce the total suffering and increase the total joy? You suffering a lot to make them a little happy doesn't help. So you have to assess the balance between the size of your needs and your wants. Not can you do it, because you're so naturally strong and adjustable, you manage through difficult things, but does it feel healthy and a calling for you? Is it a short-term compromise? Does it take you where you need to go for your soul's growth? And I think you've got good intuition on that. It's just the tendency to override it because you're so naturally strong.
Thank you, Heather. I really appreciate that. Great reading.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye.
And hello, 353, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Heather. This is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
My birthday is January 25th, 1960.
25th, 1960. Mm-hmm.
And Richmond, time? Virginia. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And the time is 6:35 p.m.
And how can I help you today?
I know that Saturn is moving into my 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
it's been in the 11th, and I've kind of reviewed that, and that was all a lot about friendships, and I feel like things are definitely lightening
up. Hold on. I want to make sure I've got your birth information correct. January 25th. What year was that?
1960.
At 6:53 p.m. in Richmond, Virginia.
It's 6:35 p.m.
6:35. Okay, I've got that. 6:35 p.m.
Okay.
I'm reading it backwards, but I had it right.
Okay.
And so you're when you say that it is, it's, I don't see it moving into your 12th house by transit.
Okay. Where is Saturn moving? Where is Saturn? What is Saturn moving into?
Okay. Saturn is, because you have 22 degrees of Cancer on your 12th house cusp.
Correct. Yes.
You have, and Saturn at the moment is at 29 degrees of Sagittarius. It's in your fifth house, and you have that stellium in the fifth. You've got Saturn in the, and you've got a, you're heading into your second Saturn return. Your Saturn is natally at 12 degrees of Capricorn. So in about a year, you'll be, you have Saturn has just finished with your Jupiter. It's sitting exactly on your Venus at the moment. It will then conjunct your Moon, and then Mars, and then Saturn.
Okay.
So you've
got a busy year. I'm what?
I said you've got a busy year ahead. You know, there's a lot happening that's kind of falling into place. Mars has been on the underside of your chart in the bottom half for the last 15 years approximately. And it is this month coming up above the upper horizon, taking you out into community, connection, visibility, taking your work out, yourself out, as it heads towards the top of your chart. So the next 15 years will probably be more interactive with the world and manifesting than the last bit of it has. Now, it looks like you are a very pragmatically creative person. And Saturn going through this may make you feel old, because Saturn does, but it's also saying, this is it. This is your time. You are not a student. You're not nurturing other people. This is your time to do your work, to do what you came here to do for the next 2 years. And then that begins a process that you will keep doing for decades. But do you feel like you've gotten an opportunity to really do your work?
Getting there. It's the last 15 to 7 years have been very difficult and heavy, and and you know, lot of transformation deep internally, and I've kind of been waiting to come out to be able to express things. And I feel like in the last, this fall, I feel like things have been a little bit lighter, or I'm being pushed a little bit more into the world than I have been. And kind of been waiting for that. A little bit nervous about the Saturn return.
The second set, remember, Saturn is, you know, when we're young, it's what other people have. It's their strength, their authority, their knowledge. When it's, when we get around our second Saturn return, that's when I published three books in 1 year.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when we take on our power. And we step into, really into our adulthood. Now, unfortunately, I'm at the end of the hour, half hour, so I need to close the show. But good luck on that. I think you're going to actually love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Feel free to check in with us later.
I will. Thanks so much, Heather.
Wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And
for everybody out there, consider your words carefully this week, but feel the lightness of the season when you can. Be there for one another if there's a new truth that comes, that needs to come through. Remember to forgive, work with forgiveness in your heart. And we look and confirm all reservations while Mercury's retrograde. We look forward to working with you again next week. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from Montana. And Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley also send their love. Goodbye.